What are some of the superstitions that are, and let me, this isn't overdramatic, killing the church, dragging it down into some bad theology?
Sure. First of all, it's not a new phenomenon. It's been going on forever. But very often it's there, it's resident, no one addresses it or deals with it. I think it's also important to recognize the foundation, where it comes from. I think Dr. Luther said the other day that the first order of business is to establish what is reality. Mm. And many times we don't go there, but it starts with just ignorance. And I don't mean that in a, you know, in a demeaning way,
yeah,
but just a not knowing and then a not searching out. And what I found is many believers are living off of a secondary or a tertiary gospel. So they've never taken the time themselves to search out what they've heard. So many times it's what they heard not only in the pulpit,
okay,
but maybe from mother or grandmother or friends, you know.
So those myths are passed down.
Exactly.
Let's go after a couple of the big boys. Give us one.
Okay. Going to church will make God happy and make my, and he'll bless me as a consequence.
All right.
All right.
And so people, you know, think that, hey, I need to make it to Sunday, and if I don't make it to Sunday, things may not go well. And then when they do, people are very excited and say, oh, God bless me because I was attending church. Not so at all. It's our relationship with God, whether we make it on a Sunday or not. Of course, a Sunday is a blessing in that we're able to be better equipped to be what God created us to be.
That's a great practical one, because we get in this checklist with God of, oh man, I got this in this column and I've got less deficits in this column, so I must be on the winning side with God. That can be dangerous.
Yes, yes, yes.
Mm, and as I hear you talk about that, I'd never even heard of this before, spiritual superstitions. I see in the word, the passage we're highlighting here, but tell me about, I mean, what makes something a superstition and separates that from it just being, you know, a mistake?
Well, it's not true, and again, it's based on either a conjured up kind of a thought about who God is, how God functions, how the kingdom of God operates.
Okay,
and then it gets established by fear, and it's sustained by fear.
Ooh.
So many people, you know, really have that thought that, hey, if I don't make it to church this Sunday, oh my God, oh my God. But hey, listen, when you get the truth, the Bible declares that the truth will make you free.
Mm.
So there's liberty in truth. But it, you know what? It takes it takes a fight. It really takes a struggle to press into the truth and then to practice repentance. Not feeling sorry about something, but to change your thoughts, change your action, as a consequence, change your life and your impact in the earth.
So the solution for superstitions is resonant truth, getting that nasty myth, silly myth, as the ESV says, getting that rectified and getting it, boom, true north.
Exactly. I mean, we have to literally work as hard to undo stuff that we believe as we do to establish truth. So
that's profound.
Yeah.
That is profound.
Yeah.
Okay, let's move. Couple more.
One more. Okay, second one. When we fail, God punishes us with bad things happening in our lives.
So there's a line that people draw between bad things and I must be bad.
I must be bad. And if I'm bad, I deserve to be punished, and I am being punished. You hear it all the time as a pastor. Whenever someone experiences something catastrophic in their life, a major illness in their life, the loss of a loved one, the first thing people do is say, hey, you know, God is punishing me. I think it was what's the recording artist? Anyway, she thought the illness that her child was experiencing, and in fact, she did a Toni Braxton. Thank you there. Mm. Toni Braxton said, hey, because of this, this illness is clearly because of my past that God is punishing me. And sometimes when I hear stuff like that on the radio, on television, I want to scream out, hey, no, that's not the God we serve. Not at all. But when you have that kind of thinking established in your life, you'll live there, and as a consequence, you live in bondage, you live in fear, there's no peace. There's a dimension of hopelessness there, because you figure there's no way out, because God is in charge of all of this bad stuff.
What you just said resonates so deeply with me because I can remember when my son was diagnosed with a disorder, and the specialist turned to me and she said, "Tell me, did you have a stressful pregnancy?" And I just burst into tears, Pastor.
Wow.
I thought, Lord, I did. Every minute of it was stressful. I did this to my child. And I never would have thought of that as a superstition. But what you said, a superstition is established by fear and sustained by fear. I had to share that again.
Mm-hmm.
That,
established by ignorance,
yes.
Sustained by fear.
Yes.
Sustained by fear.
Yes.
Okay, we got time for one more. Another big boy, Nolan.
All right. The devil is behind everything that goes wrong in life.
Okay, what's the superstition in that, and what's the truth?
Well, first of all, Solomon says it happens. Life happens to us all, and it rains on the just as well as the unjust. Good people experience a bad situation. Bad people experience a bad situation. The fact of the matter is we're living in a world that's been impacted by sin. Sin brings a whole lot of stuff, negative stuff, our way. The beauty of it is the Bible declares that many are the afflictions of the righteous, which means we're going to have these experiences, but God delivers us from them all, out of them all. So, you know, there's the hope piece. If we can get the hope piece in place, it doesn't matter what comes our way. There's a knowing that God will walk us through it. He will see us through it. And even if something we've prayed for is not removed, God gives us the supernatural strength and ability to stand up in the midst of it.
Something hit me. When you have that superstition of thinking that everything bad means that I'm bad, and it can freak you out in a relationship with God when he says, "I want you to be my friend."
On a regular basis. And then again, this whole thing with the devil, I got to just say this. He doesn't have the power that we say he has. And we give him far too much credit. And, you know, we have to deal with the flesh factor, which is another segment altogether. But the flesh really brings forth a lot of stuff. We get a hold of that, and it closes the door to the devil.
Nolan McCants, everyone.
Woo!
My goodness.
Where's the applause?
Where I come from, nice. We call that smoke on the water.
Hey, now.
And that was just dynamite. Nolan McCants, again, senior pastor, founder of Harvest Church in Plainfield. Multicultural church, multinational church is a good way to state it, and a great man of God. I want to thank you so much for being in here with us today, and we're going to put a comma here, and we're going to bring you back from time to time.
That'd
is that okay
wonderful.
With you?
Oh, I look forward to it.
Yeah, that is great. I feel compelled. Pray for people that are
Please.
Bound by superstitions right now that they'd be released.
Father, I thank you so much for those who are listening who may have heard some things and said, hey, that's me. I've been struggling there. I've been locked in there. Lord, I pray that you will help them receive what they've heard and begin to search scripture to find out what is true. And so that they will be truly liberated and set free and be able to walk in the fullness of joy in you in Jesus' name.
Pastor
Amen.
Nolan McCants, Moody grad, by the way, just threw that in there for a little bit of fun and flavor.